Welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Love Hope Everybody Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I hope everybody had a nice Easter last week. We took the week off with nothing happening. But this weekend, everything is happening. IHRA, NHRA, NASCAR, IndyCar. Everybody was out there running somewhere, and we're going to get to it all. But first, I'd like to bring to the show my special guest, the one and only Miss Sprint Cup, Juliana White. Juliana, welcome back.
How are you? I know we have had a little bit of a break and everything comes back at once after the holidays. Isn't that the truth?
That's for sure. I decided to, this is the first time you've been on in the afternoon. Usually we used to do the show Monday nights at 8, so it's a new venue for a new time slot and day for me. Figured more people are at their desks. They could listen online and hear us talking. It's the lunchtime, so we shouldn't interrupt their work schedules.
Absolutely. No, I like it. It breaks up the day a little bit.
So how have you been? I tried to get in contact with you for the rundown and the chase, and I think we commented on the start of it. I haven't even had a chance to talk to you since then. I thought that the new chase format was fantastic.
I'm going to have to agree with you, and I think this year started off showing the drivers are taking it more seriously at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, it has been a little bit of a while since I've talked to you.
But we're back now, and you'll be coming to, well, about 90 miles south of me in Bristol this weekend. So it's with just you and Madison now. Did Kim actually leave the fold?
Kim actually got an amazing job with MRN, so she's still in the garages. We still see her. Actually, I see her more than I did when I was working as Miss Sprint Cup with her, so it's cool seeing the girl kind of graduate onto things. But, yeah, it's just me and Madison. I'll be in Bristol. I'm really excited. My favorite short track race.
Wow. As it winds down, because I think Sprint is leaving the fold as well in a couple of years, which is kind of sad because you'll move on to bigger and better things, and I probably won't. We'll have to find a way to keep in touch afterwards. Have you back on?
Absolutely. I mean, the good thing about the sponsorship ending is we are full force until the end of the 2016 season, but it is sad about everything. Got to admit it, but Madison and I are at every single race, and we've been having a blast doing pretty much the same things that we've always been doing, and Sprint always has the best deals. So right now we have our Cut Your Bill in Half event. You can find out how you can turn in your AT&T or Verizon bill, turn in your old phone, and Sprint is going to cut your rate plan in half. So tons still going on in the Sprint world, in NASCAR, and we're just having a blast in the season.
And with the cut your rate plan in half, now that's something pretty interesting because they also pay for your cancellation fee when you ditch on your contract with Verizon or AT&T.
Yep, we make it as easy as possible. And it's so funny because I feel like Sprint has the most viral commercials, so people know about the cut your bill in half more than ever right now. It's been a fun campaign for us.
It sounds like it. I think all the newest phones are out of the way, so they had to come up with something. And I guess I wonder if they're going to be using Sprint's going to do something with the new Apple Watch or whatever it's called. You can have your phone on your watch through a Sprint network. Is that what's coming next, or they don't tell you that?
Oh, my God. The day I get to see one of those is going to be fun. I hope so. That would be cool. Listening to all of the Apple talks and coming out, it's just crazy how fast technology and phone companies are working. It's crazy that everything that they come out with, they top it the next campaign. So it's exciting for us. But in NASCAR, actually, right now, Sprint has the All-Star race coming up. So we have a fan vote. If you go to NASCAR.com/Sprint fan vote, you can actually vote in your favorite driver for the Sprint All-Star race, which is going to be on May 16th. At Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is another awesome thing that we do. It's kind of a big, fun event, and it was my first race that I actually even worked last year. So I'm looking forward to the Sprint All-Star race like no other race coming up.
Well, there is a lot of hullabaloo surrounding that one. It's the week before the Coke 600 or Memorial Day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually because you have 2 full weeks in Charlotte together, so everybody's pretty mm-hmm. much home for that. So you get to hang
yeah,
out there.
And
then
so fun having those races at Charlotte because all the drivers' families get to come. They seem more at home. So that's a couple weeks that I am really excited about. And I love the racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway, too. So the All-Star Race, the 600, it's going to be very fun. But if you go to NASCAR.com/SprintFanVote, you can vote your favorite driver into the race.
And they usually have the format. Then you get to vote on the format as you get closer, or they already have that set up as well.
Yeah, the shootout, they just came out with all that information. Just voting is just for driver this year.
Gotcha. Because I know anybody that has previously won has already entered, so
mm-hmm.
this is basically for... So people don't vote for the guy that won from last year to this year because they're already in the race. Vote for somebody that didn't make it, like Danica or Ricky Stenhouse or somebody.
Yeah, and those are two names that are always huge. And I just think it's so great. Danica has been doing really well this year. So for fans to vote her in, you know, they are some of the biggest fans in NASCAR for her. But she's been doing really well, so I think she would have a chance if the fans vote her in. So that's a name that's just being thrown around.
Well, yeah, she did, what, top 10 in Martinsville, 16th in mm-hmm. Texas.
Yep.
Her finishing average is a lot better this year than it has been in past years. I think what she needs to do is call the show here. And because I'll tell you, the past drivers that have called the show, and Rob Height called in 2009. He won the NHRA Funny Car title. John Force was called a regular in 2010. He won another one of his NHRA Funny Car titles. His daughters called the years after that. And they won Rookie of the Year in each year they were on.
Jeez.
Erica Ender Stevens won the Pro Stock Championship, and she's been a regular guest since for a while. So Danica needs mm-hmm. to call me and talk on the air.
I'll tell her if I see her at track this weekend.
And she'll say, who? Oh, some guy from New Jersey. And then you get to go to Dover after Memorial Day, so you got to get to see the fam.
I do. Yeah, I actually got to see them last weekend because I didn't work the Texas race. And it was fun because I don't get a chance to go home for the weekend and watch the race on TV with my parents who have been new fans, but they have the Sprint. They have their flag waving out front, their NASCAR flag. So they're like the biggest NASCAR fans. And it was fun for me to go home in New Jersey and watch the race with them because they know what they're talking about now. It's really fun to have my family involved in NASCAR.
And before you had to explain everything. And then now they're coming to you. Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, my dad tells me some things that I didn't know. And he's like, no, I get the updates to my phone. And he must look a little bit quicker than I do. So sometimes it's funny talking to them. And my sister has a fantasy league in NASCAR, and so she's always calling me asking my opinions on the different drivers for the different racetracks. So I love it's a family sport, and having my family in it is so much fun. So they'll be at Dover too.
Oh, that's cool. So how does it work with you and Madison if you're not working a race? Like, you didn't go to Texas, it was just her, and she has mm-hmm. to go back and forth between the Sprint exhibit, and then Sunday she's got to be there for Victory Lane and the pre-race ceremonies.
Yeah, we are pretty busy when we're working the race, but it's been fun this year because we have been extending a lot of our appearances at the track, and so we're kind of more all over the place this year. And we have a couple, both of us will be working the All-Star race. Both of us will be working a couple of different ones, but it's fun getting a chance to have all of the responsibilities. I do miss Madison. I think I'll be seeing her tomorrow. We have the trophy going around all of Charlotte and surrounding areas getting ready for the All-Star weekend. So we still get to see each other when we have appearances and stuff, but when we're at track, we're kind of working our butts off when we're there by ourselves.
I can imagine. I mean, you have to hold all those contests on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody in the hall and try to talk them into a new phone and get changing their plans over.
Yeah, and we have a lot of fan interaction, too. We have lots of giveaways still. So it's always fun for us. We're known as the fan's friend on the inside, so getting a chance to get out there in the pits and in the garages and give free things away to them has been awesome. We give away a lot of VIP experiences. So not only do we get to be in Victory Lane every weekend, but we give fans a chance to go to Victory Lane and do a lot of other cool things. So,
well, that's pretty neat. That's is that something new for this year, or is it something that's always been going on? Because I don't remember anybody talking about that.
It's not new, but this year we are on Sprint Vision a lot, so you'll see us at track on the big jumbotrons, and we play more games, and we're more in the track area. So that's kind of new, giving away the things where all of the fans are.
Yeah, I could imagine, especially when the weather starts getting a little warmer there, and you're stuffed in the fire suit running all over the place, you're going to be toting the cooler full of water around.
Yeah, I'm already doing that. It's getting down to the warmer temperatures now, so got to keep drinking water in our fire suits.
To get out of Charlotte and head to Daytona after this winter, or during this winter anyway, because it was nuts up here.
It got a little cold, though, down there. It wasn't, I mean, there were a couple days where it was hot, but it got a little cold in Daytona, too. We couldn't escape it, but should be getting a little warmer soon. And on the West Coast swing, it was, I got burnt when I was out in Phoenix.
Yeah, well, that's the desert, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know. It was my first time going to any of the West Coast tracks, so it was fun for me seeing Auto Club and Phoenix. Those are pretty amazing structures.
I hear Vegas is pretty nice. I haven't been to that one, but I gather that Vegas, as far as the infield goes and with the media, they're pretty nice. They're pretty upscale over there. And of course.
Oh, yeah. That is like the closest you can get to the drivers in the Las Vegas track. And all of them who work over there, they put on such a show. I love going to Vegas. I didn't get to go to the race, but when I went for Champions Week, we did a lot of things at the track. So I haven't seen any racing there, but I do know that they put on a show, and I love the facilities in Vegas also.
Yeah, that's one track. Cause there's a girl I had one. She works for the Richard Petty Experience, so if you want to get a ride in a race car, go see her.
Oh, I have yet to do that, which is kind of crazy, thinking it's almost been a year, and I haven't really driven around any tracks except when I'm in the pace car, which is a pretty cool experience in itself, I guess.
Things that, you know, the pace car is all right, but if you want to actually get in a car, and you drive a 5-speed or manual transmission, or you're strictly an automatic girl?
Oh, my God. I don't know any of that stuff. I just want to get into the cars there. One of my cousins, he races in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and he did it in Charlotte where he drove himself. So he's trying to get me to get into a car with him, but I don't know about that.
Well, at least you know he's got experience.
Yes. And speaking of New Jersey drivers who are doing well, are you excited to see Martin Truex Jr.?
Yes, I am, because of, one, the team he's with is rather limited on technology because it's a one-car team, even though I think they get all their stuff from Hendrick. But it's good to see him doing better, because ever since he's coming to the Sprint Cup Series. I've been waiting for him to break out in something. First with DEI and being Dale Jr.'s teammate, he won his only race, one of the two races at Dover on a rainout, which is good. He won at his home track. And then on a road course, I think he won a couple of years ago. I mean, with Waltrip Racing. So if I thought it, so it's, I guess, finding the right bunch of guys to work with is a lot more important than it seems, because he seems to be doing better because I guess the team is gelled a little bit better this year as well.
Oh, yeah. No, but it's been fun for me to see him do well. I think he deserves it and has been working really hard for years. So to see him finally do well, I'm excited. Just also being from the same area as him, I get excited.
Plus the thing is, after all, he's going through with his girlfriend and her illness. So, you know, that's kind of rough on somebody. So to stay focused, and maybe that's how he clears his head, is being in the car. And it's just
yeah, and I love, she is so big on social media, and I think it's, how amazing is it for her to see him do well, and that brings a light to their life too. So it's been fun watching her on social media being so excited and so happy for him, and see him just kind of soaking it all up.
Now, what did you think when you had a Daytona 500 and none of the Busch brothers were in it?
I know, it's kind of crazy. I actually did an event with Samantha Busch not too long ago and talked to her about how Kyle's doing and everything. It was a rough beginning of the year for both of the Busch brothers. But, I mean, look at how Kurt's doing now. I think he's coming back with a vengeance into the season. So a little bit of a tough start for them. But I think in the end, you know, Kyle's expecting one of the greatest gifts that life can give you, a baby, and he'll come back better than ever, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Kurt to pull off the win. He's fallen short just a couple times. I think Harvick hasn't. He's been on fire this year, coming off his Sprint Cup Series championship as well. And usually people seem to have a letdown, but it seems like he's even gotten better.
I know. He hasn't had one single letdown yet. I mean, to be in the top three for that amount of consecutive races and to already have two wins in the season with only seven races, I think he's showing that he, number one, deserved his title last year and wants a second. So, I mean, it's been cool seeing his team, you know, they celebrate just like they won the championship after every race. So I think they deserve it, and they've been working their butts off to get a second title. I don't think he is content with just one. And I think Tony Stewart even said that. He's not the type of person who is satisfied after winning just one title. To get two in a row, I don't know if he'll be satisfied after that, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, nobody's really satisfied with, I mean, they're happy when they get their first one, but I think they always want more after that. I know I would be in any sport unless you're too old to compete, which is, one good thing about motorsports is you can drive into your 60s.
Sometimes they don't want you out there, but you see it.
And like Morgan Shepherd, I don't know how old he is now. I don't know if he's still driving in the Xfinity Series. I have trouble saying that. I'm going to have to learn a new sponsor for the Cup Series.
I
just
know.
Call it Cup Series after that.
No, he pops up every so often, so I'm pretty sure he's still driving.
And then you got a guy you got John Force, who's 66 and just won another event. So
hey,
he's going 300 miles.
I think it's amazing. You see drivers who are 18 years old winning the biggest races that you can imagine. And I'm thinking about how horrible I was just driving around my local town when I was that age. It's amazing seeing the span of ages and all the drivers in all the series.
But But here's the thing, though. Everybody's going the same speed on the track, pretty much, out in town.
Mm-hmm.
You got people going 20 miles an hour slower than you want to. And if somebody's going faster and you know you can't catch them, then you don't have a problem. But it's the ones that always, like, the left lane turtles that I call them, is, you know, come on, move over.
They're never from New Jersey, that's for sure.
Well, I know. I mean, especially in this area, I don't know, like I-77 and 81 where I'm at is a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit. So I'm sure...
We don't have a lot of those.
You have that going, because 77 runs smack dab into Charlotte, so I'm sure the speeds are up around 70 over there.
They do down south. But where I'm from in New Jersey, it was always 65.
Oh, that was a stretch. Oh, yeah, same with me. That was a stretch to get, too. Then Governor Whitman proved that she wanted the fines doubled for speeding. This was the only way she would sign off on it. And you see 65 on the highway, you'd be lucky you get to 50 with some of the traffic.
Oh, my gosh. And that's the truth. Too funny.
So Sprint is going to slash our bills in half just to make the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a question.
Yep.
I have. Some of the other carriers,
mm-hmm.
you pay for your line, that's X amount of dollars, and then you pay for your plan, that's another X amount of dollars. Is Sprint the same way, or is it just the same rate for line and data?
Oh, yeah. No, we'll match your data from your previous plans, and you'll get unlimited talk and text to, obviously, anywhere in the U.S. So we pretty much keep your bill the exact same. We just cut it in half, which is unbelievable. So AT&T and Verizon, all you have to do is bring in your phone and your bill, and they'll take care of it. So if you go to Sprint.com/halfprice, you can find out more. But just go into your local Sprint store, and they'll fix you up.
And they have plenty of phones to choose from. Now, what is your phone of choice these days?
I love the iPhone. I have the 5S, but we, the Miss Sprint Cup girls, we use the iPhone 6. So if you look at our picture quality, it's out of this world. It looks like you're using a professional camera. It has so many capabilities. The screen is amazing. I thought having a bigger screen would be tough to hold, but you get used to it. I love the iPhone 6.
Because I was wondering, I always said, like one of your predecessors, I guess, that what she used to call it, she preferred the pictures of the Samsung. She thought it took better pictures than the iPhone.
No, the Samsung actually takes a really good picture. I had never used it before. My parents use it. But I did have a chance to play with some, obviously, with Sprint. But the iPhone 6 is unreal, the pictures. I didn't think it could get any better, but I think it did. And now they always have more things rolling out, too. So we'll see what they come up with next.
The watch. You got to get the watch.
The watch. I know. Oh, my gosh. How cool is that?
I don't know if you're... Back in the day, there used to be a comic strip. You might have seen the movie. I don't know, because you're kind of young. It's called Dick Tracy. The guy used to have he was a detective, and his watch was his radio.
No, I remember that. I actually used to read comic strips when I was growing up. I loved Archie and all them.
Oh, cool.
They didn't have any cool technology, but I know what you're talking about.
No, they didn't have any, but the premise for what's out now is probably from people who used to say, you know, then you have the Silicon Valley geeks that actually put what they read or saw in the movies into
mm-hmm.
reality.
Jeez, yep.
So that's pretty amazing. And then, of course, the Sprint All-Star Race voting. What's that, a month away?
I know. We're counting down. It's Saturday, May 16th. So if you want to vote for your favorite driver to be in the Sprint All-Star Race, all you have to do is go to NASCAR Fan Vote. So the voting is open all the way until May 15th at 7 p.m. And if you want to double your vote, you can actually do that by sharing on social media. So if you share on Twitter or you share on Facebook, you can double your votes because you only have one vote per email per day. So if you really want Danica in, share on social media every single day. Your votes will double. And you can see who will win the fan vote on May 16th.
Now, they still want to have a preliminary race as well to give two people one last chance, plus
the shootout is the day before.
Okay. They used to run them the same night.
To what?
They used to run the shootout, the preliminary race, like the pre-All-Star race, the same night as the All-Star race. So now if they're running it the night before, I guess people come to the track 2 days in a row instead of one. That's the marketing ploy there.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a five-segment race, so it's going to be exciting to shoot out.
And then it's always fun to watch to see just a select group instead of 43 cars and where, let's say, 10 shouldn't be out there and down to about 20, 22 cars and all for no
points. Yeah, they have the minimum field is 20 drivers for the All-Star race. So, I mean, a night race really that fast it's unreal being at the Sprint All-Star race. But, yeah, the shootout is the day before at 7 p.m. on May 15th. So.
And check your local listings if you want to watch it. I'm sure it's Fox Sports 1 usually.
Oh, yeah, it's on Fox this year.
Like Fox has got everything, and then NBC's got the rest of the season.
Yep.
I wish they would have stayed with ESPN, but I don't pay the money.
I know. Well, we'll see how it turns out this year. I know they have a lot of really cool things planned. I'm excited to see their coverage for the second half of the year.
All right. Well, I guess we ought to let you run and get some lunch or packed or whatever, because we'll be heading up north for heading a couple hours north and about 90 miles south of me for Bristol this weekend. It's a shame it's the day race, though. It loses a little luster, I think. Even though it's a fun track, the night race seems to be more electric.
I know. I'm bummed that I won't be on the night race this year, but I'm excited to see it during the day. I was at the night race last year, and it's just unbelievable. Joey Logano won. I think we might see him do well this weekend. Looking to see his streak of wins, which I think is inevitable at the beginning of the season.
That's true. And he might be in line for a championship this year. Well, we'll just have to keep him. We'll have to have you on right before the All-Star race to give Sprint the one last plug before the festivities and then back on throughout the year. And we'll prognosticate the upcoming chase and then like we were going to do last year, but I don't know what happened. I put in a request, nobody got back to me. So, and then you have a new handler. So,
yeah, lots of changes this year. Just getting ready for the next couple seasons, which are a little different for Sprint. So, we'll be on a little bit later in the season for sure. I'll get to talk to you.
All righty, you have fun this weekend and enjoy the race and. Don't work yourself too hard.
I'll try not to. It was nice catching up with you.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye, Vin.
There you have it. The Miss Sprint Cup, Juliana White, joining us live. And yeah, we did have a little bit of catching up to do. So if you want to give me a call, the number is 646-649-1899. As now we head to... We'll just go hit the results of ARCA Series, the Troop A 200 out at the Nashville Fairgrounds. The man to beat this year after, I guess, three races is Grant Effinger. He he seems to have won all the races so far this year. Matt Tift of Hinkley, Ohio, came in second. Driving the number 52. Third was Austin Wayne Self. fourth, Brandon Jones. Fifth, Kyle Weatherman. Sixth, Daniel Levine. Seventh, Josh Williams, if you haven't heard any of these names. Keep an eye out for feeding ground for NASCAR. Eighth is Clay Greenfield of Clarksville, Tennessee. Michael Lira, Port Orange, Florida, is ninth. 10th is Thomas Prater. And in 11th place, a past guest of mine from Summerlin, British Columbia, Sarah Cornett-Ching. When we first talked to her, she was only scheduled to do 10 races, including both restrictor play, according to Talladega and some others. And then right after she come on, somebody offered her a chance to run the whole season. So things are working out, and we'll have to have her on again because she's been hovering in that top 15 since the beginning. So it's good to see her doing decent in her rookie ARCA season, which is kind of amazing, really, because when you look at a young person coming into the sport, getting used to new things, usually they're somewhere down the bottom half of the track, but good to see her up as in the upper half of the running order, which kind of helps win championships come around. As far as the ARCA series points, we could check on that. Sarah's in 11th place in the points as well. Got a ways to go. Grant Enfinger, he was, like I said, he's the points leader as well. Three starts, three wins, three top fives, three top tens, which when you win, what's it matter? It's an automatic given there. Two is Josh Williams. Wayne Self is third. David Levine, fourth. Thomas Prater and Tommy Hessert, who is a Cherry Hill, New Jersey native. Julianne is listening. She's from Haddon Township, and I'm from Turnersville, which is considered Washington Township, southern New Jersey, so we're all in the same 10-mile radius of each other. Bobby Hamilton Jr., seventh in the points. I remember when he used to run in the Cup Series and in the Nationwide Series. So now he's sticking with ARCA. Brandon Jones in eighth, and Matt Tift in ninth, tied with Kyle Weatherman. For 10 points different between Sarah and ninth place in the points. We'll have to have her call in and see what happens. I'm looking at some of the names that could be near the top, like Frank Kimmel, who's a there's one more championships in that series than anybody else. He's down in 20th. So it's kind of weird to see him that low in the standings. Usually he's up near the top. So, but you got some younger guns in there. The Gearhart brothers, Bobby Gearhart, 61st in points. I guess he only runs a few races. So Leilani Munter tied for 61st place with Bobby Gearhart in the points. So she doesn't run every race. And I know she had to ride with, but she only entered one race. Cassie Gannis doesn't. Well, I've had her on the show. She's really, really young, and she's looking to make a move up. So she didn't quite make the race at Daytona, which was a disappointment to her. But maybe get her on in a a while too. But anyway, that takes care of the ARC series. On to the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing series. Erica Ender's battling illness wound up taking the funny car, the Pro Stock Trophy this week, beating Vincent Nobile, who's been a tough competitor of hers this season. She started off a little wobbly. As a matter of fact, if she was feeling better, she'd have been calling in right about now, so we'll try for her for next week. And she also won the K&N Challenge, so she doubled up the weekend, taking home all the big money for her class. Best reaction time of the week, she owns it at 0.001, which is almost as good as when she won her championship last season on her last run when she ran zeros. But she went through Matt Hartford, who broke Jimmy Englund in the round two, and Greg Anderson, who I like seeing her beat him because he made the comment that if he doesn't want to be the first one to lose to her, and he was. Then Vincent Nobile in the final, she took it on a hole shot because their ETs were exactly the same, but being she got the better reaction time off the tree, she won by, I guess it would be a half to the front quarter paddle. The only thing closer than that was the funny car finals, which John Force went up against Robert Height, his teammate and team president, with a whole new team. So it was kind of wondered what was happening there. Of course, Height's had a few good runs, and they were all close. So they had a chance for wins, but after the switch with from Ford to Chevy with the Camaro, and then going with peak antifreeze after Castrol pulled out, Force didn't have no easy time of it either. He went up against Chad Head, who had problems. He ran a 41.413 there. And then up against defending champ Matt Hagen. And Hagen ran a 4.4 with horse staying consistent with a 4.1, moving him to the semis against another guest of ours, Alexis DeJuria. We'll have to get her on, too. She's doing pretty well. She's looking for her first championship as well. She's got a couple wins from last season. And Robert Height, of course, his battle to the final against his boss was against Ronnie Capps in round one, Cruz Pedregon, Tommy Johnson Jr., and, of course, John Force beat Height by 1/100th of a second, 4.14 to Height's 4.15. That's how close it is. So, good day for Force Racing. In the Top Fuel division, it was Richie Crampton over former champ Larry Dixon. And Dixon had a little problems, wound up smoking the tires about a third of the way down the 600-foot line, as usually where they lose traction. He lost to Richie Crampton, who probably got his first win of the season, who turned a 3.9 at 301 miles an hour. Sounds kind of slow. Looks like the speeds were a little lower, and the ETs are lower than normal, except in the Top Fuel division, turning 3.9s and 3.8s. Usually they're 3.8s and 3.7s, but they were out in Las Vegas, so it didn't matter. But if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You know what? Let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this word, these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Our first day after, back after the Easter weekend. Of course, our new day and time, Tuesdays at noon. You can tune in to us here on Blog Talk Radio and makes it interesting. So I want to see who we can line up for next week and we'll have a little info on that anyway. So anyway, in the IndyCar Grand Prix, it turned out to be of Louisiana, driving in the streets of the Big Easy. It was James Hinchcliffe over Elio Castroneves, James Jakes, Simona DiSilvestro, finishing fourth. Is a good finish for her. It's good to see her back in the car and this year. So the only woman in IndyCar racing at this time. So and she's running well. Juan Pablo Montoya came home fifth. Tony Kanaan sixth. Will Power seventh. Graham Rahal came in eighth. Ninth, Joseph Newgarden. Now, remember, Graham Rahal is engaged to John Force's daughter, Courtney. I wonder what kind of bragging rights are there. I was doing 200, I did 200 miles an hour. I do 300 miles an hour. That ought to be an interesting conversation. But anyway, Graham was a 8th, 9th, Joseph Newgarden, 10th, Luca Filippi, new guy. Then Scotty Dixon, 11th, Marco Andretti was 13th, for your familiar names. Ryan Hunter-Reay, that's a good run for him, 19th. Simone Pagenaud was 20th. The average speed of the race was a 71.995 miles an hour with a margin of victory under the caution. So there was no, everybody ought to do the green white checker finish like NASCAR does and maybe try to finish it on the green. So they can finish that way. Lead changes, 3. And 6 cautions for kind of clean anyway for a road course. Figure you got some tight turns and things on there, so. But that takes care of the Verizon IndyCar Series results. And now we go back to NASCAR and for the Xfinity Series, which was run Friday night. It was a nice under the lights weekend. And Erik Jones, who they didn't want to put in to fill in for Kyle Busch in the 18 car in the Cup Series until he got better. He's having a good run in the Indy car, Xfinity Series. Starting from the pole and taking the checkered flag, he was able to lead six times for 79 laps. He is not running for points in the Xfinity Series as he's riding, running for points in the Truck Series. Race took 2 hours, 15 minutes, 21 seconds. Average speed, 132.98. Margin of victory, 1.64 seconds. So on a mile and a half track, that's like 16 lengths. So we'll say it's from one turn gap between first and second. Brad Keselowski, Ken Loom, second. Dale Jr., third. Reagan Smith, fourth. And he's the first finishing position running for points, even though he was filling in for Kurt Busch a little while ago, but he is the first one finished running for points. Austin Dillon was fifth. Darrell Wallace Jr., sixth. Seventh, Denny Hamlin. Eighth is the third guy running for points in the Xfinity Series. Defending champ Chase Elliott. Ninth, Chris Buescher and Brian Scott round out the top ten. As we look at the points, Ty Dillon leads the Xfinity Series points. Chris Buescher second, Chase Elliott third. The gap's getting closer, so 219. So Chase Elliott needs to make up 11 points to retake the points lead if he's going for another, let's try for another championship. Darrell Wallace Jr., he's fourth in the points. Ryan Reed is fifth. Sixth, Regan Smith. Seventh, Elliott Sadler. Eighth, Brandon Vaughn. Ninth, Brian Scott. And tenth is Daniel Suarez. And the gap between first and tenth is about 70 points, maybe a little more. On to the Cup side, we have Jimmy Johnson taking his second win of the year. So there were no new chase guys making it. Kevin Harvick, another top two finish, coming home second. Nipping Dale Earnhardt Jr. at the line on that one. That was a close battle there. Jr. did come home third, had a shot at second, but just the momentum and the way Harvick dove under him, he was able to catch him. It did look like a couple of inches, so it wasn't much. Joey Logano, fourth. Brad Keselowski, fifth. Jamie McMurray, sixth. He's been running good this year, old Jamie. He's looking to get in that chase. He fell a little short last year. Seventh is Jeff Gordon. Eighth, Casey Kane. Martin Truex, who Juliana and I was talking about. Ninth, and cousin Carl Edwards is tenth. Danica Patrick, 16th place. So that's another good run for her. anytime you finish above the top 20, it's pretty good. And so, coming off her top 10 at Martinsville, I don't know why I would think that Martinsville would be a better choice, but it turned out to be. Anyway, the race took 3 hours and 33 minutes and 57 seconds. The average speed was 140.5 miles an hour, and the margin of victory was 1.1 seconds. And the championship standings right now in the points, Kevin Harvick leads. Of course, this is all according to points. It should throw the points out and just use them to separate if there's a tie with wins, like Harvick and Jimmy Johnson only have two wins. Harvick's got 306 points. Johnson should be second on the basis of the fact that he only has 216 points. And then you have Joey Logano, who's second in points with 280, but he only has one win. Brad Keselowski, same deal, 246 with one win. And Denny Hamlin, and they should be grouped together and separated from third through fifth, separated by their points. And then below that, they should do it that way. That's why the points, the winless guys, points on down. But anyway, that's not the case the way it is now. So Kevin Harvick right now is the points leader with Joey Logano second, Truex third in points, Brad Kessler, but no wins. That's what I mean. But as the wins weed on out, then he would be the bottom of the win, below the win guys, with his position with no wins. Keselowski fourth, Casey Kane fifth, Jimmy Johnson sixth, Dale Jr. seventh. Eighth is Denny Hamlin, ninth Aric Almirola, David Ragan in the top 16, Jimmy McMurray in 11th, Matt Kenseth 12th, Jeff Gordon 13th, Carl Edwards 14th, Casey Mears in 15th. It's a pleasant surprise for him. He's usually never that high in the points, so it's good to see him up there. And then Paul Menard in on the bubble. So one of these days I'm gonna write these down in chase order, how they would enter the chase had the chase started tomorrow. But that's not the case right now. So we just have to wait. So right now, let's see. We've got some Jimmy Johnson taking the checkered flag at the Duck Commander 500. Here's what Jimmy had to say.
We're going to continue with our post-race press conference. We're now joined by the winning crew chief of tonight's Duck Commander 500, Chad Knauss. This is the team's fifth win at Texas Motor Speedway, the seventh for Hendrick Motorsports here at Texas Motor Speedway. Chad, if you could talk about that late surge that Jimmy had in the race, and then just what you guys have found here that's made you so successful at Texas.
Yeah, you know, as far as how we perform here at Texas, I think it's, you know, this is a racetrack that definitely falls into Jimmy's liking. It's a track that you've got to be able as a driver to search and try to find a different line. Obviously, 500 miles here, there's a huge swing in track conditions. And I think with the way that Jimmy is able to describe what he's feeling in the race car and with what our guys are able to do from our engineering standpoint, being able to keep up with the racetrack and adjust to the racetrack and trying to get the car better throughout the course of 334 laps around here. So it's a good race for us. It's a lot of fun. we like coming out here. Obviously, it's cool to see the confetti and the fireworks and all that stuff. But as far as the race, you know, it went really well. We were very happy and very pleased with the tempo and how things are going. Pit stops were solid. All was working well until about 2/3 of the way through the event. And then we had that caution after a short run, and that kind of mixed up everything. I opted to pit from the lead. That was probably a mistake at that point. Kind of got stuck in traffic, but then we were fortunate enough to get a couple of quick cautions shortly after that, and we were able to adjust to the race car and make it better in traffic. And Jimmy was able to drive up there, and he did a great job. That's it.
Going to open up for questions if you could raise your hand.
Oh, there we have Chad Knauss. I was hoping they would have ran with Jimmy Johnson first, but they didn't. But anyway, as we wind on down the show, we're heading to Bristol this weekend, and we'll have to pick out some winners. So before we sign off, let's see who we got going on here. We have Carl Edwards, Ricky Stenhouse, Eric Amarola, Stuart Ambrose, who is no longer in the series. He went to drive for Roger Penske in the Australian Supercar Series. Something he was a champion of when he used to, before he came over to NASCAR, to worry about that some of the time. And of course, Sam Hornish Jr. taking his place in that ride. So just interesting to see. Guess if I got to make a pick, see who runs good there. I think key drivers, I don't know about Kensington. You know, I think he's due for a win. You know what? He's won there before. He's been running really, really well. I'm going to go with Kurt Busch. So if you want to check out our Facebook page or Twitter, I'll post a pic there. It's... go ahead and give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GarageTalkLive, and GarageTalkLive on Twitter is our Twitter handle. Well, anyway, I hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigley. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. It's Bristol, baby, and we'll see you all next week. Good night. And good racing.